ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Insha'Allah ta'ala, tonight we'll be finishing one of the sections from among the sections of the purification of the souls, and that's subduing shaytan, as we come to the section of our Shaykh Salim al-Hilali hafazahullah, where he's saying that sujood as-sahu, by making those two prostrations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can subdue the shaytan. As in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلَمْ يَدْرِ كَمْ صَلَّى ثَلَاثًا أَمْ أَرْبَعًا فَلْيَطْرِحِ الشَّكَّ وَلْيُبَيِّنْ عَلَى مَا اسْتَيْقَنَ ثُمَّ يَسْجُدُ سَجْدَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلَّمْ فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى And I think the word ثَلَاثًا سَقَطَ شَفَعْنَا لَهُ صَلَاتَهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى إِتْمَامًا لِأَرْبَعٍ كَانَتَا تَرْغِيبًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if any one of you doubts in his salah to the point that he's not sure if he made three or four rak'ahs, then let him do his best to get away from that which he has doubted in, and to begin his salat or base his salat on that which he is certain of, and then make two prostrations for the sujood as-sahu before he makes the taslim, or before he says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And if he had made salat, and I think here he's missing the phrase three rak'ahs, and if he's made three rak'ahs, then that would have made it his fourth, or that would have made it an even number for his salat. And if he had made his salah complete with four rak'ahs, then the two sajda, would be a burden, or that which would make the shaytan angry. That which would make the shaytan angry. So here, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing us that if we have any doubt in our salah, that we're not sure whether we made three rak'ahs or four rak'ahs or two or one, or what have you, then that is from shaytan putting the doubt in our minds, la'anahu Allah, and that whoever finds himself in this situation, then he should base his salah on that which he is certain of. That if he doubts, did he make two rak'ahs or three rak'ahs, then for sure he knows he made two rak'ahs, he would base it on that. And then he would make two sajdas or two prostrations before he makes taslim, and that is what would make the shaytan angry. It would despise the shaytan. So here is a way that we can subdue the shaytan when he comes to us in our salat to make us uncertain of the amount of raka'ahs that we make. We can make the two prostrations at the end to subdue the shaytan. Also among the ways of subduing the shaytan is moving the index finger in the salat while we're sitting in the jalsa position for the tashahud. And that is on the hadith, from the hadith Nafi'an qal, كان عبد الله بن عمر إذا جلس في الصلاة وضع يديه على ركبتيه وأشار بأصبعه وأتبعها بصره ثم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لهي أشد على الشيطان من الحديث يعني السبابة. And this hadith is collected by Imam Ahmed and also Imam Al-Bazzar, and it's an authentic hadith where Nafi' rahimahullah said that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion from among the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would sit down in his salah for the tashahud, he would put both of his hands on his knees, and then he would point with his index finger, and then he would look at his index finger with his eyes, and then he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is harder or more severe on the shaytan than iron, referring to the pointing of the index finger. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that that index finger that we move while we're pointing towards the qibla in our jalsa position or when we're making the tashahud, that this is more severe, rougher on shaytan than iron. So we should be mindful when we're making our salah not to be among the doubters and to be among those who point their finger towards the qibla and move it, as this is more harder on the shaytan than iron. And the issue of moving the finger in the salah, the shaykh goes on, because this is an issue that some people seem to be confused on. So he wanted to bring a few hadiths to clarify it for those people who may be doubting or may not have the knowledge of this part of our salat. And that is when we sit down, as we'll see, I'll just read the hadith then and let it explain itself. As the hadith collected by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and other than them too, where it comes to the part, ثُمَّ قَبَضَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعَهُ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِهِ فحلق حلقة ثم رفع أصبعه فرأيته يحركها يدعو بها ثم جئت بعد ذلك في زمان برد فرأيت الناس عليهم الثياب تحرك أيديهم من تحت الثياب من البرد. Here in this hadith is collected on Wa'il ibn Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he's describing the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he gets down to the point where he says, and then he grabbed all of his fingers and he made a circle with it, and then he raised his index finger like this. He grabbed his fingers as if he made a fist sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made a circle between the thumb and the middle finger, and then he raised his index finger. And Wa'il radiallahu ta'ala anhu went on to say, and I saw him moving it, making dua with it. I saw him moving his index finger, making dua with it. And here, we wanted to make the point that this shows that the moving of the index finger in the tashahud position goes all the way up to the salams. Why? Because Wa'il ibn Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moving his finger, making dua with it. And we know that the time of dua is after the tashahud, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to seek refuge in Allah from four things and then make dua for whatever we want. So this shows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was making the dua towards the end of his salah before the taslim, that he was moving his finger in tashahud. And then he goes on to say, and I came back during a colder time, and I saw the people with their clothes on, moving their fingers underneath their clothes from the cold weather. So this shows that even in the time of cold weather, if our coats are over top of our fingers, that we still should be moving our fingers, our index fingers, in our tashahud position, as this is stronger on the shaytan than iron. So among the ways to subdue the shaitan is in the jalsa position to move the index finger, as it is more difficult on the shaitan than iron. Also among the ways of subduing shaitan, la'anahu Allah, is by remembering Allah Ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير في يوم 100 مرة كانت له عجل 10 رقاب أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وكتبت له 100 حسنة ومحيت عنه 100 سيئة وكانت له حرزا من الشيطان يومه ذلك حتى يمسي ولم يأتي أحد بأفضل مما جاء به إلا أحد عمل أكثر من ذلك. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, that لا إله إلا الله, he is alone and has no partners, for him is the kingdom or the dominion or the sovereignty, and to him is the praise, yarhamukallah, and he has the power or he is qadir over everything. Whoever says that phrase, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, in a day 100 times, then it would be as if he had I forgot the translation, as if he free an ashaq كانت له عدل عشر رقاب. Anyway, I have a doubt at that. I'll just leave it and go on to the next part. Whoever says this in a day 100 times, كانت له عدل عشر رقاب, and it will be written for him 100 good deeds, and it will be wiped away 100 bad deeds, and it will be a protection from the shaitan on that day until the evening comes. And no one could do anything better than, no one could bring anything better than that person who said, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 100 times in a day. No one can bring something better than what that person has brought, except the one who did more than what that person did. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this particular dua that we say in the morning and the evening, this dhikr or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a protection from the shaytan in the day that we make that statement 100 times. So among the ways of subduing the shaytan is by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also among the ways of subduing shaytan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-kareem, subdues him all by himself. Among the ways to have shaytan subdued is to let our Lord, al-kareem, the generous, al-qawi, the strong or the powerful, is to let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of the devil. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in an authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَلْسَلَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the month of Ramadan comes, the doors of heaven are open, and the gates of Jahannam are closed, and the shayateen or the devils are chained up. So here we see that among the ways the shaitan can be subdued is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone tying him up in the month of Ramadan, allowing the believers to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain his reward. So among the ways that shaitan is subdued is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself subdues him by chaining him up in the month of Ramadan. Nah.
Someone told me that they, that
Excuse me? The brother said that someone said that during the month of Ramadan that Shaitan is tied up, but not his imps or his little devils. If that person who said that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will accept the statement sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. But if that statement is from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger, then it's no need to even entertain it. Is that a statement of Allah or his messenger, akhi?
No.
The brother said no. So there's no need for anybody to burden themselves with what he said or she said until the statements of our Lord or our messenger and Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something. And I just want to make a point here that I've made in the past, and that is, for the people who heard some hearsay about the deen, they shouldn't burden the believers by allowing the believers to hear this hearsay. If we're not sure that something is from our Lord or from our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should drop it first, and for sure we should be the last people to burden the ears of the believers with that which hasn't been related to us from our Lord or from our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? We have enough already from the Quran and the Sunnah that we're still trying to come to grips with, as we have established this class, Tazkiyatun Nufus, or purification of the souls, that we're trying to take care of ourselves. We're trying to purify our own selves. And we have enough from the Quran and the Sunnah to deal with, to have hearsay to worry about. Is that an ayah? Could that possibly be a hadith? Man, is it for real? We don't have time to burden ourselves or to worry ourselves with these doubtful things when we have things that we don't doubt in. So for the brothers and sisters who have this hearsay, the first thing they should do when they hear it, they should stop that person who's passing it on and tell them, did you get that from your Lord or from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if not, then he or she should be warned to stop it right there and don't spread it anymore. And if at best, if someone wants to do a good deed, to try to trace that thing back to whoever said it originally, and then find out where that person got it from, and if it's from that person's own desire, then we just leave it at that person. But we need to stop entertaining everything that we hear or everything that we see, because it's a burden on the believers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to place a burden on us. The shaytan la'anahu Allah, after the shaykh Salim al-Hilali has showed us the footsteps of shaytan and the ways that shaytan uses to lead the believers astray, and the plot and the program or the methodology of the shaytan, and then that which we can do to subdue the shaytan, and then to top it off, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, wahdahu, he will subdue the shaytan by himself in the month of Ramadan by chaining him up. The shaykh ends off his book by showing the times when shaytans, or when the shayateen, are at their peak and their numbers. Meaning when the shaytan is out doing his best to get the people, to lead them astray, the shaykh, hafizahullah, is warning us of those times, so at those times we can be especially careful of subduing the shaytan, as he brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani in his book Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha. It has the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قِيلُوا فَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَا تَقِيلُوا. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make a qaylula, because indeed the shayateen or the devils don't make a qaylula. And the qaylula, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best at the proper time of the qaylula, but the qaylula is a midday nap. The qaylula is a midday nap. Here the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to take a midday nap, because the shayateen don't take a midday nap. So the shayateen are busy at that time, and all we have to do is go to sleep, and no one is held accountable for what he or she does while they're asleep, as we know the pin has been raised off us until we wake up. So here is among here is one of the times when the shayateen are at their peak or at the in large numbers, and we should be careful to stay away. Some of the scholars of Islam say that the qaylula is just before Dhuhr, and some of them say that it's after Dhuhr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the proper time, but at any rate, it's around the Salatul Dhuhr, and that we should take a qaylula, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on us to be in an environment where we can take the qaylula, because it seems to be impossible to take the qaylula and the land of the shayateen. And in the coming lessons, inshallah ta'ala, the point that I've been hinting at in many of the lessons of the fact that it's not right or permissible for the Muslims to just happily, peacefully coexist with their enemies in the land of the enemies, inshallah ta'ala, in one of the coming lessons of the purification of the souls, we're going to deal with that issue in detail, inshallah ta'ala, and the successes with Allah. Also among the times when the shayateen are at their peak, or at many of them, is at the first part of the night. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim, احبسوا صبيانكم حتى تذهب فوعة العشاء فإنها ساعة تخترق فيها الشياطين. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't know a good word for this translation. Keep your children in. احبسوا صبيانكم. Keep your children from going outside, inshallah ta'ala, or lock them up in the houses until or at the first part of the night, because there is an hour where the shayateen are at their peak or are many in number, or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that we should be careful about our children and letting them out at the first part of the night, because the shayateen are many at that time. So we should be mindful to keep our children in as a means of subduing the shaytan, la'anahullah. So to summarize up the book of the Shaykh Hafizullah Salim al-Hilali, Maqami'u al-Shaytan fi Daw' al-Kitabi wa Sunnah al-Sahiha, subduing the shaytan in light of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, the Shaykh Hafizullah Salim al-Hilali began with quoting some verses of the Quran, and I added some verses on to the verses that he had mentioned, showing where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the plot of shaytan, and that he is an enemy to us, and that his program is just to come to us from wherever he could to make us disbelieve and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh hafizahullah went on to show that the shaytan, la'anahullah, has footsteps. And among the footsteps of the shaytan that we have been commanded or prohibited or forbidden to follow, among these footsteps is forgetfulness. And also among his footsteps is that he gradually wins people over with his art of persuasion, that he doesn't make you disbelieve or disobey immediately, but it's a type of gradual winning you over to disobedience to the shaytan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong against the plot of shaytan. Also among the footsteps of shaytan is that he whispers, that he whispers to the believers, and he whispers to them in two ways. One way, by beautifying the haram or disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he beautifies it to the person. You should have saw the house, 15 rooms, an acre and a half. Your children could play in the backyard. It has a swimming pool, 3 baths inside, a jacuzzi, and a whole 9 yards to that dream house that everybody is looking for, that the only way in the world you can buy it is by the haram of riba. Shaytan makes it look beautiful to you. And like we were just saying the other day, these cars, that are on the market, subhanallah al-azim, that every time you look at one of these new cars, whether it's a Mercedes or a Jaguar or these new Lexuses or whatever, all you can say is, I can imagine myself in one of those. But the price is such that nobody can purchase it without riba. So Shaytan beautifies the haram to you. He's winning you over slowly to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making this dunya, this lowly, lowly dunya, beautiful to you so that you can disobey your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala or even fall into disbelief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other ways, the Shaytan, he puts fear into your heart after you purchase that dream house or that dream car. That Shaytan had enticed you to fall into the haram of getting. Once you get it, and then you realize the seriousness that Shaytan had actually beat. He gradually won you over to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come to the realization of the plot of Shaytan and where he has you caught, then he puts the fear in your heart to leave it. How are you going to walk away from that dream home? What will the people say? What will the realtors say? How will my credit look? And the whole nine yards, Shaytan puts fear in your heart. He makes you afraid to leave the haram. There is nothing more fearful in your heart than leaving the haram. Whatever I do, or whoever I'm not scared of, I'm scared of leaving that haram. I just got to be in the haram. This is the way that Shaytan puts fear in the hearts of the weak believers to make them fall into disbelief or disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the plot of Shaytan real to our eyes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand how he beautifies things to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand how he puts fear in our heart of leaving that thing that we've held on to after he's made a beautifying to us, beautiful to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to fight the Shaytan and to be strong enough to subdue him. Also among the plots of the Shaytan is at times he makes the sin easy to do. He makes it easy to do. Among the footsteps of the Shaytan is that he commands the believers to disobey their Lord. Among the footsteps of the Shaytan is that he pushes and entices the disbelieving people to commit sin. And the last footstep that the Shaykh mentioned, hafizahullah, among the footsteps of the Shaytan is that he declares his innocence after he's caught you, and he has this little malicious type of joy. I made that car look beautiful, didn't I? He tells you. And you say, yeah, I know I shouldn't have did it. Then he puts that fear in your heart. Don't give it up. You say, nah, I ain't gonna be scared. I know it's Shaytan. He's just trying to make it look like I'll be destroyed if I give up the haram. The Shaytan just comes to you and say, I made it look good to you. I put that fear in your heart of making a haram on you. And then you just continue to go on being bold and arrogant and patiently waiting for the punishment of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ha 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 ha. That's just what I set out to do. So this is from among the footsteps of Shaytan, and we should be mindful that Shaytan is real and his program is real and these footsteps are real. And if we find ourselves falling into the footsteps of Shaytan, we should be the last people to continue in those footsteps, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, as we had begun the footsteps of Shaytan off, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. And do not follow the footsteps of Shaytan. Indeed, he is an open enemy to you. Then the Shaykh, hafizahullah, went on to mention the means or the ways that Shaytan uses to lure the people into his program. And that is that he uses arguing and speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the religion of Allah al-Islam without any knowledge. Among the ways of the Shaytan is that he instigates the Muslims to fight one another, to hate one another, and to envy one another so as to make them weak, to make his program seem strong to those Muslims who have been tested by the
fitna of fighting one another or hating one another or envying one another. Also among the plots of Shaitan, then we won't consider it to be haram. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we had mentioned for the example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made khamr haram, that we might come up nowadays with some intoxicating drinks and give them a name other than khamr or other than intoxicants so that the people can think that it's permissible to drink. So this is one of the plots of Shaitan, that he makes us name things by other than their name so as to give it the verdict of the new name and not the verdict of the name that is proper for that thing. Also among the footsteps of Shaitan, and we didn't go into them, the means or the ways of Shaitan, the last two ways that the Shaykh mentioned was music and changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as these are all means that Shaitan uses to lead the believers astray. And then the Shaykh hafizahullah went on to show that which we can have on our side to help us subdue the Shaytan, and the first thing he mentioned was sincerity. That sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest and the best and inshallah ta'ala the strongest weapon that we have against the Shaytan, because the Shaytan has no power over the sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in the Quran in Surah Al-Sad, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إلا عبادك منهم المخلصون منهم المخلصين. Here Shaytan لعنه الله says in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said, referring to the Shaytan, he said, by your might, by your power, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will lead all of them astray except for your servants among them who are sincere. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather Shaytan himself, is telling us that I will lead all of you astray except the sincere ones among you. So the best weapon we can use against the Shaytan inshallah ta'ala is sincerity. Also among the ways that we can use to subdue the Shaytan is by being a jama'ah. A jama'ah in our salah, a jama'ah when we travel, a jama'ah when we gather together. And then the Shaykh went on to show the times when we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Shaytan. As seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Shaytan is a means of subduing the Shaytan. And the first time that he gave us is when we recite the Quran. That before we recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should seek refuge in Allah from the Shaytan. And then the Shaykh mentioned at the time that someone is putting magic on us. If someone is trying to put a spell on us or some voodoo or whatever you call it, then we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which someone is trying to put on us. Also, when we enter into the masjid, and we were mentioning that from the etiquettes of entering the masjid isn't giving the salam, and when leaving the masjid, giving the salam, but from the etiquettes of entering the masjid is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. And leaving the masjid is to seek, is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. So among the times when we seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan is while we're entering the masjid. Also when the shaitan comes to us in our salat to whisper in us, to whisper to us in our salat to make us think of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever finds this in a salat, then he should seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. Also when we get angry or when we get mad, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of our own desire, then we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. Also among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan is if we have a bad dream or we see something in our dream that we don't like, then we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. If someone is envious of us or has put the evil eye on us or al-ayn, then we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. Then the shaykh went on to mention a section on the basmala or saying bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, and to show that this is a way of subduing the shaitan. And then he mentioned the times when we could say it to subdue the shaitan from the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is if someone loses his animal, his riding animal, then he should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or excuse me, he should say bismillah, as this statement will make shaitan, as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, become small, so small as if it was like a size of a fly. So among the times when we should say bismillah in order to help us subdue the shaitan is if we lose our riding animal. And when we enter our houses, this is the time to seek refuge in to say bismillah, as the saying of bismillah is a way of subduing the shaitan when we enter in our houses. So when we enter in our houses, we should say bismillah, as this is a way of subduing the shaitan. And also, when we come to our wives, we should say bismillah, and then the rest of the dua, Allahumma jannibna shaitan, wa jannib shaitan ma razaqtana, as this bismillah is a way to subdue the shaitan, and to keep the shaitan from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with. Also the shaykh went on to mention that reading the Qur'an is a way of subduing the shaitan. And that we should, as Muslims, every day we should have a portion that we should read of the Qur'an. Because this Qur'an is a way of subduing the shaitan. And then the shaykh went on to show in specific Surah Al-Baqarah and Ayat Al-Kursi is a way of subduing the shaitan. As the Qur'an in general is a way of subduing the shaitan, but the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah and more specific Ayat Al-Kursi is a way of subduing the shaitan. Also among the ways of subduing shaitan is by making the sajda of tilawa. And the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam particular times that when he raised particular ayat, that he should make prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the recitation of those particular ayat, and that this is a means of subduing the shaitan. Some of the brothers had questioned that last week I had read one of those verses and then prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of the people had also prostrated. And we wanted to mention the fact that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to prostrate at times when he read ayahs from the Quran of prostration, then the believers would prostrate with him, as the time when he read Surah Al-Najm, chapter number 53, the star, and at the end of it, it has one of those ayahs. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read that publicly to the mushrikeen, to the disbelievers and the believers, and everybody, all of the jinn and the mankind, made prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except one man, and in another narration, two men. So it's perfectly permissible if one person is reading the Quran and he comes across an ayah of prostration and he prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those that are listening with him could prostrate with him, inshallah ta'ala. Also among the ways of subduing the shaitan is by making the adhan and the iqama, as the shaitan runs away from the person who or runs away at the time the adhan is being called and at the time the iqama is being called. Also among the ways of subduing the shaitan is by straightening the rows and filling the gaps when we make the salah. And then today, as we began, among the ways of subduing the shaitan is by making the two prostrations of sahu, or Father. Forgetfulness, when you're making the salat, that when we make these two prostrations of sahu, that this is a way of subduing the shaytan. Moving your index finger in the salat is also a way, and the tashahud is a way of subduing the shaytan. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a way of subduing shaytan. And then the Shaykh showed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself could subdue the shaytan, as he does in the month of Ramadan by tying up the shaytan. And then the shaytan and just to make mention back to the brother's point of someone saying that the shaytan is chained up, but his little imps or devils aren't chained. Just as we was glancing back over the hadith, I saw that the word is ash-shayateen in the plural sense, that the shayateen or the shaytans or the devils will be tied up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't use the singular. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to place a burden on us. The Shaykh ended his book off with the section that the shaytans are at their peak or in the largest numbers at the time of Qaylula, and that's around midday, either before or after, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and that we should take a Qaylula or a light nap around midday, because the shayateen are at their peak at this time, and we should keep our children indoors at the first part of the night, because the shayateen are at their peak or in plentiful at this time. This is what the Shaykh Rahim Hafizahullah had to offer, and this is what I tried to present as one of the sections of the purification of the souls, subduing the shaytan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who benefit from that which they hear and then implement it in their lives. Now,
yes, we mentioned that before when we were explaining it. The brother is asking about the ruling pertaining to making prostration when we come across one of the verses of sajda when we're reading the Quran. When we come across one of those verses when we should prostrate after we read that verse, the brother is asking the verdict in relationship to that. We had said earlier when we began this class that we didn't want to get into verdicts, but what we wanted to do was to make this class that which would encourage the believers to do good deeds and to stay away from bad deeds, that which would encourage the believers to seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to get tied into the details or the verdicts relating to each issue that we cover. And for that reason, I didn't, inshallah, mention the verdict of making the sujood sahu, the sujood tilawa, whether it was compulsory on us to make that sujood if we read that verse in the Quran, or it was just recommended. The issue is that this is one of the ways to subdue the shaytan, and that whoever wants to subdue the shaytan, and we know that all of us are in need of subduing that shaytan,
who's constantly trying to lead us astray, that we should do it as much as we're able to, and at any rate, as far as the verdict in relationship to that, then it's only recommended to prostrate on that, because the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in this hadith, prostrated at times and other times didn't prostrate, and even one of them prostrated in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then didn't prostrate at another time, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent to that.
Now,
the Imam was quoting, he said that there was an authentic hadith that means do not, and he said this is more particularly for the women, do not be the first ones to enter the marketplace. So more particular is from the Imam, meaning more particular to the women. The Messenger, where he's saying that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying the meaning of it, that whoever enters the marketplace, don't be the first to enter the marketplace or the last to leave it, because this is where Shaytan raises his flag. And Jazakallahu Khaira. And I wanted to say that, as we were saying in some of the classes, that at times I added verses or hadith to that which the Shuyukh have brought, and other times I've deleted some of the things. And there are more things, of course, that would help us subdue the Shaytan, and I thought of mentioning them, and then at the end I left them out. But whoever, as we were saying before, that what we're mentioning in these classes, inshallah, isn't comprehensive in the sense that we're saying that this is the Quran, this is what the Quran and the Sunnah says on subduing the Shaytan, that you won't find anything on subduing the Shaytan other than that which we brought, or among, on the ways of getting to Jannah, that you won't find another way to get to Jannah except the ways that we brought, that there are other things, and only perfectness is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making something perfect, but that we were just doing our best at trying to mention that which would encourage the believers to purify themselves, to seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to stay away from His punishment. Now, yeah, we mentioned the whole hadith last week. I think if I open the floor up and let all these questions go, then we're going to drift from the issue. I think that we mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, as we covered, one of the ways that Shaytan uses to distract the believers or to lead them into his program is by whispering to them in their salah. So inshallah, the things that we mentioned should be sufficient enough for us to begin to start subduing the Shaytan, to coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to staying farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this was the purpose of our class as we began, inshallah ta'ala, with a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 151, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as translated, just as we have sent just as we have sent a messenger from among yourselves to you all to recite to you our verses and to purify you. And there are many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He sent a messenger to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order that He purifies us, and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in His Sunnah and by bringing the Quran showed us many ways that we can purify our souls, and we tried to take some of those ways to present them in our classes so that we can know how to purify ourselves.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say after he said, and to purify you, and to teach you the Quran and the Sunnah, and to teach you that which you didn't know. So inshallah ta'ala, we're trying to make our classes brief and to the point by just mentioning the issue at hand, and then either the ayat or the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the believers could desire the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the believers could be fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the believers could want that Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for his believers, so that the believers could be fearful of that fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for those people who are befitting for entering it. And some of the people who enter the fire will be among the Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. So that these classes, and just to take a look back at over the 30 classes or so that we've had on the purification of the souls, we began with the first series on those things that we could say or do to have our sins forgiven. And then we went on to dua or supplication, the virtues of dua, the times when it's advantageous to make the dua, who are the people who have their duas answered, the things we shouldn't do in our dua. And then we went on, I think, to sincerity for a few classes. And then we went on to the ways to get to Jannah. And then among them, we had took a break and we had the class staying away from fornication as a means of purification, as the eyes and the ears and the tongue and the hands all commit fornication, and that we should stay away from fornication, every path that leads up to it. And then we went on to, after finishing the ways to get to Jannah, to that which we were covering just now, we finished subduing the shaytan. So these classes are just general to help us, inshallah ta'ala, love Allah and to love to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to love to purify ourselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared his Jannah for the purified, for those who purify themselves. And for those who don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the hellfire. As Allah says in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verses 88 to 91, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran and this surah says, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. الله سبحانه وتعالى in these verses says, a day when no wealth or children will avail, except the one who comes to Allah with a pure heart. Alhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.